Then, judging how historic society was formed, Ray Rowlands, Ray Cashin's outfit. And anyway, I just got sort of eased into it, mainly because I was mistaken for my grandfather back there in 1951, I guess. So, yes, I have been gay. I don't know such a hell of a lot of history. Because of certain, let's see, it was compelling on me to be acquainted with certain things. And so I have read Georgia history. I'm one of the curators of the Georgia Historic Society, Venable, oldest in the world, 1839, in Savannah. So I do have these written one or two things published in historical.
You have?
Quarterly, yeah.
I noticed you have a lot of books around here. Do you read pretty widely?
Yeah. I've given out of reading. In fact, went around the library the other day and got The Agony and Ecstasy.
Oh, yeah.
So about Michelangelo. You know, like everybody knows, read it, and I haven't. I've never gotten it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I liked C. Van Woodward, the great historian, Yale. Well, my nephew, who moved to Augusta for reasons I'm going to right now, because he studied history of Augusta and the family connection, we came down here, fell in love, married Augusta girl, and now he's here, and he's deeply interested. Anyway, he was sat at the feet of C. Van Woodward, and he sent me his books. I read The Agrarian Rebel, which is like the first and one of the best things he's written, and things like that. Now, Brian, my nephew, three books. The great admirer C. Van Woodward, who Woodward took him up. He's only one of 20 of his senior class at Yale that he took on as proteges. And a lot of things C. Van Woodward wanted to know why Major Cunningham, grandfather, who was diametrically opposed to Tom Watson, received a New Year's gift from him in the form of a book, which I have here, Tom Watson described. And then he had, and I said, Dr. Woodward knew about the family because Brian wrote his senior thesis on the coming family in Augusta history. And he had asked, did Henry H. Cumming know A.B. Longstreet? If he didn't, why didn't he? And I gave reasons. I knew the history of both of them and when they're 10 years apart, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made me dabble in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it really very interesting. And while the Renaissance is not the field which I enjoy, I plunge right in this agony and ecstasy and find I'm just as much interested in Michelangelo in an 800-page book.
Yeah.
Have you ever read it?
No, I never have.
You know about it. You're like me. You've heard a lot about it, never read it. Yeah, yeah. That's great. Irving Stone. You're not a very charming writer either. He sprinkles more names. The young man is going to leave his studio and go to a place out in the country and describe every VR in Rome, or Florence rather, the whole way. It took a half a page to describe the place he's going out of this mall quarry out in the country. So he's not a smooth reader. Yes, sir, go ahead. Ask me questions. You ask me two. Your questions are so comprehensive.
Well, you're
the answer, you compel a comprehensive answer.
You're giving me great answers. Let me see. I know what I want to ask you. How about travel? You mentioned you speak of Rome as if you speak of Rome as if you've been there. Have you ever traveled very much?
Travel? Let me tell you something, Mike. I settled down to retire. No, I hadn't retired. Or went to France during World War I, of course. I was in the field artillery. And saw some battle and had 2 weeks leave and saw some of France. Never thought I'd get there. I'd read enough French history and English history, especially. That's one of the things I knew quite a bit about. And I was 74 years old, tired, sedentary. Certainly had no vagabond impulses at all. And my son and his daughter said, let's go to Europe this summer.